My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
Do you have to be drift compatible to be a pair skater?
This is unusable because we sound so dumb.
Yikes.
Please recycle, eat the rich, let's go.
Okay, boomer.
We are explicit on iTunes. Oh, this is so cursed. This podcast is canceled.
Hi, everyone. This is not your usual intro. We'll get there in a second. This is Megan coming at you from the future. Actually, it's probably still the past for you, but it's the future as relative to the versions of Megan and Netta that you're going to hear next. Time is made up. Anyway, this episode, we had a super fun technical snafu disaster where my audio just disappeared like halfway through the episode. So luckily, I had a backup recording going on my phone. The quality is not as good as it would be, but it's, you know, it's workable. And I assure you that about halfway through the episode, I start sounding rich and expensive and clear as a summer's day crystal lake in a beautiful Maine resort, just like that. So hopefully you enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Welcome back to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
My name's Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Netta. How are you?
I'm okay. It's spring. It makes me feel better about life.
It is spring. It's a little early, and I don't feel like we got any real snow, but I'm gonna try not to freak out about that and just be happy about the nice weather.
Everyone, please recycle and believe in climate change. This is a figure skating podcast. Hi, what are we talking about?
Eating the rich.
I mean, yes, but also.
But also, today is going to be part one of our two-episode coverage of the Four Continents Figure Skating Championships in Seoul, South Korea. This episode, we're going to talk about the ladies, and then next time we're going to talk about the men's.
Cause feminism?
Cause feminism. Now, for those of you who don't know about Four Continents, the first thing you may be asking is, can I watch it if I haven't seen the first three continents? And my answer
is
to that
is... one of those things where it's just, like, part of the franchise, but you could watch it? Like, it's not Infinity War, right? I don't need to know.
I think it's more of, like, an anthology, like, American Horror Story, or, you know, when they... It's like every season is a new cast. There's Easter eggs for, yikes, that actually hit a little too close to home, didn't it? Continents 1 through 3 are always a classic, but 4 continents is really where the action happens.
I don't know, to be honest, I kind of really like 2 continents, 2 furious. Please edit around all of this bit so it sounds like we got here faster.
I'll make it sound like we got here in a fast and furious manner.
This podcast is canceled.
So, in real life and not in a stupid bit that we do every time, it's called 4 continents because it's everyone besides Europe. Europe is not invited. Europe has their own thing. It's fine.
It's the rest of the Olympic circles. I think that's in the Wikipedia description or something, and I really enjoy that as a descriptor. It's not exactly how geography works, but it is how it works for sports.
Yeah, and I really hope one day that the skaters from the Arctic Circle can come, but it's just, we're not there yet as a society.
I mean, we might never get there as a society. Climate change, please recycle, eat the rich, let's go.
They might not have a reason to leave now, but once the ice there runs out, maybe we'll start seeing some of them show up in our neck of the woods. So, you know, stay tuned.
I'm so scared about the universe.
Okay, for me, I'm just gonna say it, I thought it was more interesting than Euros. In at least in the ladies' field, it takes out this element of, like, we know who's gonna win.
Yeah, I was trying to describe it to someone who doesn't follow the sport, and especially for the ladies' field, that was kind of what I was saying, actually, was that this is one of the first events this season where there were many different options for this podium.
The other reason that 4 continents is interesting, like Euros, every country can have up to 3 entries. It's not in the Worlds or Olympics mode where however many entries you get depends on how you did last time. Everybody gets up to 3 if they want to, and a lot of federations, such as the US and Japan, use 4 continents as a way of sending, like, their B squad or, like, sometimes even just the rest of their A squad to international competition and letting their, like, top heavy hitters rest before Worlds. And other federations use it as a way to get their A squad ready for Worlds. So it's always a mix of different, like, storylines.
Yeah, it's also always, like, a very interesting showcase because, like Worlds, it's one of those events where we get to see people from all sorts of federations because, for example, at the Grand Prix, you only get 6 to 12 people at one time, and those bigger events, you get to see a lot of, like, the smaller feds and feds that we don't get to see that often. And that's always fun and exciting for me. There's always, like, someone I've never seen before because I personally can't possibly keep track of absolutely everyone from every single fed. So it's, like, always very exciting to be sitting down knowing that there's going to be at least one surprise one way or another.
It must be said that while Four Continents is one of my very favorite events in general, this particular one had a number of, shall we say, challenges. First of all, the sound was cursed. It was like a hell echo in, like, a cavernous demon pit.
And here we see the exact moment that the universe decided to curse me for my hubris with audio issues of my own. I hope you enjoy irony. There's a lot of it in the next segment.
I could go on for a much longer time than anybody wants to hear about, like, sound design stuff. All this to say, the speakers were set up in such a way that there was a really bad echo, and the way that it was mixed for television did not in any way compensate for that. And there were a lot of points in the pipeline from, like, happening in real life to coming to us where something, in my opinion, could have been done that just was not. So, you know.
I know we can't really complain about it a lot because the ISU has been doing so great providing free, basically real-time live streaming for most countries. It's been great. Very grateful for that. However, Jesus Christ, everything you just said, it was bad.
It's not as though no one has ever had to design a speaker layout for an elliptical ice rink before.
It's so very funny to me that several times throughout the entire event, in the commentary, which we will get to, there were moments where the guy would be like, just so you know, we heard that you guys have been saying that there's been some trouble with the sound on the live stream, and I hope it's better now. And it wouldn't be, and it wouldn't be, and it wouldn't be. So that tells me that someone on, like, the social media end of ISU was seeing that people are being like, at ISU Skating ISU, what's up? They were passing it down the line to someone to fix it, and it was just not happening.
Yeah, well, it's because they can't move the speakers. Like, the speakers were in the wrong place, and then wherever the mic that was capturing the rink audio for the feed was, like, needed to be moved, but I guess they just couldn't. Because from what I heard from people on Twitter in the arena was that depending on where you were sitting, you either were or were not getting it, which, like, makes sense to me from, like, a geometric sound physics perspective. But it's hard. I'm not gonna lie to you. This is the kind of shit that in my sound design courses, I was like, I cannot wrap my head around this, but part of live sound design is knowing where to put your speakers.
Yeah, could not possibly tell you I'm not good at that. But anyway, it was kind of cursed. It was a very different sensory experience.
Here's what I will say. I would gladly listen to that audio and only that audio if I could have just turned the commentary off.
Yep. Jesus Christ. We are not here to name names.
I am. His name was Paul. I forget his last name because I don't care enough to Google him. Commentator Paul, I want him fired, and I don't care. I literally don't care. Like, I would write a letter to NBC or whoever hired him right now. That dude needs to be fired.
It was not NBC because it was, like, the ISU-wide commentary. Y'all, it is 2020. There was so much wrong with this commentary. And I'm sure we're gonna get into it. We don't need to because we were on Twitter and every single person with half of a functional brain cell was aware of it. But it was one of those things where it started out as like, oh, this guy is kind of annoying. And then it was like, oh my God, it's still happening. Then it was like, oh Jesus Christ, did he just say that? And then it just kept escalating. It kept avalanching down and getting worse and worse and worse. And by the end of it, it was like the end of the entire comp. And I was sad it was over, excited it happened. And also I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to listen to this man anymore.
Yeah, it honestly put a really yucky, like, paw on the competition for me. And, oh, shut up. I didn't do that on purpose.
It was great. I was not going to say anything, but it was great.
Listen, if I had a more if I had an even more pronounced accent, that wouldn't have happened.
It was great.
I'll take off my non-regional accent and just put on my normal one. And like, his name's Paul.
Gorgeous.
Oh my God. Okay, so listen, we're going to get into specific ridiculous things that he said because he needs to be held accountable.
We're like outside of like the ISU offices, just protesting.
Listen, you know, like when we're this fired up, because our general party line on this podcast is like, let's be rational, let's view things in a nuanced way. This is the thing we're like, no, fuck this dude.
Yeah, I'm upset about him.
I am too, but also he just talked too much and he had nothing to say. Every time somebody jumped, he'd be like, wow, nice jump. It was good and high and loud and fast and she really flew and the audience liked it.
And also he called half of them wrong. Several times throughout, it became apparent that he could only code jumps like based on the planned content.
I could go on, but let's talk about the skating. Also, just worth noting, we usually start these episodes with breaking news, but we're actually going to push that toward the end for the sake of, like, timeline continuity. So, okay, let's start with the podium.
Yay!
In third place, winning the bronze medal, is Brady Tettle.
I drew in a breath to say Stan Brady, and I could not, because that's upsetting to me.
Yeah, it was just on the list of things that came out of that man's mouth. It's so low, but it just happened so many times. It was unfucking believable. It was untenable.
It was upsetting to me, but also it was so funny when he finally got the memo, like, at the very, very end of the free skate, and then he made a point of saying her name so many times in the last, like, 20 minutes of the event. Well, we already sold it, Brady Tennell, but it was too little too late.
Also, I thought it was kind of funny because, like, it's not usually, like, the white Americans whose names are butchered, so, like, at least in that way, it's an equal opportunity thing.
Not gonna lie, as someone with a long Slavic name, which often gets butchered, I was very pleased about that. But not for Brady's sake or anything, it was just funny because it's low-key one of the... I don't want to say easiest names because that's a garbage Western idea, but one of the names that I would expect this particular person to have the least trouble with, he still messed it up.
Netta, what's the weirdest way anyone's ever said your name?
Well, good question. My name is Neda Vocheva. I've gotten the most common is Vocheva, which is fine. People say Vosheva, all kinds of just bad Vosheva. Just like people just give up sometimes. Not to mention that Neda is often Nelly or Nadia or just like any other N name. It's just bad. It's honestly not that hard.
I mean, Megan, there are so many ways to pronounce and spell. I don't really blame people for being confused. Kelleher, I get Keller a lot, but the one that still to this day stays with me is when I was in high school, I once won a raffle, and they pronounced my last name as Ear Cleaner.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know where they got that one, but...
That had to be a typo somewhere in a document.
No, I, like, wrote my own name, and I had, like, really good, like, straight-A high school overachiever handwriting. So I don't know how that happened, but...
When I was an undergrad, for our undergrad graduation, we had to, like, provide the little phonetic guide for our names. They gave up halfway. It was, like... Bachelor of Arts with Honors, blah, blah, blah. Bitch?
Neda Val Kilmer.
That was fine. Yeah, that's me. That's my official name.
It's actually pronounced Val Kilmer.
So anyway, Stan Brady Tennell. Stan Brady Tennell. No, Brady Tennell put some respect on her name. First ISU championship medal, believe it or not.
It is, and it's the first for an American lady since Mirai won bronze at Four Continents in 2017.
She's been having such a good season that every time she goes somewhere and skates, I'm like, oh my god, this is such a good season. And then she shows up and she does even better the next time.
Yeah, she's really establishing herself as one of the best of the ladies skaters who doesn't have a triple axel or a quad, just does the double axel, rest of the triples, as well as they can be done to the best of her ability. And of that crop of ladies, I think, yeah, she's definitely, like, always either near the top or at the top at this event of everybody who did not even attempt a triple axel or a quad of any kind. She was the one who scored the highest. So, I mean, there it is again.
She's just so good at showing up and doing her job just clean and well. And she skates with a quality which makes me not care that I'm not expecting a quad triple combo. I could watch her skate this or any of her programs with all doubles. I would not care. It's just good.
Yeah, I'm reaching a point in the season, I have to say, where I don't think I'll ever get sick of her short. I think her free is wearing on me a little bit.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised about that.
She's not keeping it interesting and exciting for you by wearing a different dress every time?
I don't know. I think it depends on what mood I'm in. I think sometimes just it has to hit me at the right time for me to want something really, like, romantic and old school and, like, ballad and whatever. But she does it really beautifully. It's just, like,
I think I got on board with it late. I mean, I enjoyed it the first time I saw it, but it took me a while to be like, oh, this is a great program and I really like it. So now I'm, like, really into it.
We're like two ships passing on this program.
Just waving at each other.
Just waving at each other. I think that the newest costume, which I know we talked about on our episode about U.S. Nationals, I wish it didn't have the, like, nude airbrushing on the sides. I wish it was just white. I don't really know how I feel. I mean, I just hate airbrushing in all contexts, but I don't know what the impetus behind the nude airbrushing is.
I think people just get excited about a nude illusion in any shape or form.
I just wish it was, like, actually a cutout or something. It just isn't, it's not the color of her skin. It's, like, darker. I don't know. It's a little weird for me, but it's lovely nonetheless. I was thinking in the car the other day about, I was thinking about how much Brady has progressed in just one season, or rather just since this time last year, in terms of, like, her artistry and her attention to detail and her presence. And if her career continues, you know, however many years, it's interesting and exciting to think, like, where is this going to keep going? Because she mentioned, I believe in one of her interviews after the medal ceremony, how she's like, she said something along the lines of, like, everything's going according to plan, or, like, this was the next step in my plan. I want to know what the Brady Tennell long-term gambit is. Like, what's going on there?
Brady, come on the pod. Tell us about the five-year plan.
The five-year plan? Oh my god, I was thinking of it as like a cool supervillain, like, everything's going according to plan.
Brady has, like, a full, like, Peppa Sylvia board of her plan for the future.
Oh my god, I love it.
You know what? I want to pivot really quickly back to, like, cinematic, just romantic programs in music.
Yeah.
I saw Little Women last week. Changed my life. It was beautiful, gorgeous. Talk to me about it so much. The music in that film is incredible. It is such a good score. And because I'm myself, halfway through I was like, oh my god, I can't wait until next year one person is inevitably skating to that. And I was trying to decide who I want that to be. And I've decided I want to see Brady skate as Jo March. I will not be elaborating.
I really like that idea. I think you're right about that. Okay, wait a minute. Can I be really embarrassing for a minute? I don't,
yes.
I genuinely don't know if the Oscars already happened. They did, right?
They did.
Did it win? What won? No, Parasite won. It won some stuff, though, right?
Parasite won. Yeah, they just won Best Costume Design.
I was going to say, like, every year a million people skate to whatever the big Oscar bait movie was the year before. So either we're going to see, like, a lot of Parasite programs, or maybe we'll see a Little Women.
A Little Women is a treat. Is that meme dead?
No, I'm never going to let it die.
Beautiful. Yeah, no, I mean, what's the other options? Like, Ford versus Ferrari programs? The bad news is, I mean, the Joker was technically nominated for Best Picture. So I guess we're just going to keep seeing that, realistically.
What else was there? Was there not a big musical? I feel like the past couple years because of Star is Born and...
No, the closest we got to a musical was Marriage Story, where Adam Driver sings a bunch of Sondheim, but I don't think that counts.
I wonder if we'll see a Paris program to Marriage Story.
I honestly hope we get a Little Women program from someone. There's a song in it called Ice Skating.
Oh.
I mean, I would not use that one because it's a very important... Someone falls in a lake. I'm not gonna spoil.
It's a really, really, really old book, and I feel like if you... I don't know. I think people know.
But it's a beautiful score, and I've decided, back to Brady Tennell, I've decided that I would love to see her skate that score.
I agree. I was gonna be like, which Little Woman are you? But, like, we're all Joe. It's not even a question.
I'm Joe for sure.
I'm kind of an Amy. I'm gonna be honest. I'm a Joe, but I'm also kind of an Amy.
The most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me, ever. I love Little Women. I grew up with a book. I've read it probably dozens of times since I was 5 or 6 years old. I grew up thinking I'm Joe. Just the entirety of my life, I've always known I'm Joe. Watching this film, I realized I'm no longer Joe. I'm Laurie before he gets married.
Interesting.
I'm very upset about that. I'm just a garbage 20-something-year-old who wants to, like, walk around and be in Europe and be obnoxious and a menace to society. Not nearly as rich. Timothée Chalamet. Who, for the record, he's gotten so much better at acting. Maybe it was just the very good directing. This is not a film podcast.
I've seen, like, one movie ever, and it's Pacific Rim, so this is definitely not a film podcast. Can someone please, please skate to the Pacific Rim soundtrack? Preferably, obviously, it would have to be Pairs, because, you know, if you're not drift compatible, what are you doing?
Do you have to be drift compatible to be a pair skater?
Yeah, you're literally drifting across the ice. No one is allowed to lift me if we're not drift compatible. All right. Good. Anyway, congratulations, Brady.
Stan Brady.
Stan Brady. Tonight we are canceling the apocalypse. Stan Brady. Do 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 do. In second place is Yu Young.
Yay! She did so good.
She did, and it's especially impressive to me because she's just a local schoolgirl who wandered into the competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there is a way. Oh my god, it's so exciting to see a skater perform for a home audience. Because that's true. It's always fucking thrilling to see a local crowd supporting their own. Regardless of which country, regardless of which comp, it's always great. What's not great is referring to a fucking athlete as a local schoolgirl because she happens to be from the same country.
And she's a student. Like, imagine being like, here's a student athlete performing in front of a home crowd. Let's call her a local schoolgirl. Yeah, local schoolgirl, junior Olympic champion. No, scratch that. Local schoolgirl, Young Yu. This is apparently the first time she's ever landed all 12 possible triple jumps in a competition. Good for her, because it's true, she has been struggling a little bit with just, like, putting out 2 clean programs with the triple axel, and it's really cool that she got to do that in front of her home crowd.
It's so good. She skated so beautifully. She's just so wonderful to watch. I remember very early on in the season, before the Grand Prix, watching her at, like, one of the first competitions for the season. I had a moment where I was like, she's gonna do great this season. Yes. And I had nothing to base that on. That was before her triple axel had happened. It was just like, I was just like, she looks gorgeous and I think she's gonna do well. And look at us now.
Look at us. Look at us.
I mean, I'm just gloating from behind a microphone. Look at her.
I love her Juliet costume, and I don't think I have said this enough on this podcast. It is so nice. The color is that perfect, like, washed out silvery purple. It has just the right amount of clustery sequins and the headband. Like, give me a headpiece on ice. Thank you.
I think I've raved about it before. It's just such a smart take on a Romeo and Juliet costume.
The sash in the back is so smart.
It's just good visual storytelling. It completes the entire program. It looks gorgeous. Possibly one of the best costumes this year.
One of them, yeah, for sure. Here's my thing, and I actually, this is going to be a running theme for me. I need her to just give me a little more face. You know, this is really awful, but a moment that I could not help but laugh was in the free skate when she has this moment where she's doing a Vita, and it's the song that's like, just a little bit of star quality, and she's just totally dead in the face. Like, it's like, she does have star quality, but I just need her to, like...
But is that funnier than just, like, fully straight-faced doing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina?
Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Lord knows I'm not.
Jesus Christ, that's bad. But yeah, we're not telling a local schoolgirl to smile. We're not doing that.
No.
We're just looking forward to her growing more confident in her just overall performance. I think this is the thing that we've been saying time and time and time again about, especially younger skaters who are incredible technically, and it's just very hard to show people that you know how to experience emotion.
Totally. Especially if you have your mind on, oh my god, am I gonna get the triple axel? Oh my god, it's a home crowd. Oh my god, I've been trying so hard. You know, it's...
Yeah, for sure.
Who knows?
Can't even imagine. I will say her Evita is growing on me a surprising amount. I don't like Evita. I've been having a great time with this program. I still think it's a very jarring selection.
So I'm going to make a confession, which is that I know some of the music from Evita just from, like, living on planet Earth, but the only time I've ever seen it, I've never seen the musical. I've seen the movie one time when I was homesick from school in, like, eighth grade, and I rented it from Blockbuster and watched it on my tiny little, like, 10-inch TV VCR combo, and I had a really high fever the whole time. And so my memories of this are...
Literally a fever dream.
Either buck wild, I gotta be honest. So I'm like, I couldn't tell you, if you told me this was Evita and it was really like Fallout Boy, I'd be like, yeah, that's it. It's a shame that of all the Madonna we get on ice, so much of it is Evita.
Yeah, I would love to see just like actual old school, like a Virgin era Madonna. Oh, nice. Maybe not like a virgin. I feel like that would be inviting a lot of garbage commentary from just about everyone.
Yeah, commentator Paul in particular, maybe not. Let's not let him hear that one. But I would love to see Young Muse skate to like any other Madonna.
I feel like a Madonna program in that one costume that Sofia Samudurova briefly wore at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Would be a dream. I'm so here for that. Let's bring more 80s back on ice. I feel like Papadakis' Ron have been onto something with their fame situation. And I feel like we need more of that. More 80s.
You know what would be the perfect, like, platonic perfect free skate song?
Please hit me.
We only got 4 minutes to save
the world. 4 minutes to save the world. Yes! Gorgeous. That's inspired.
There's even a Glee version. I know how much skaters love that.
Oh, Jesus Christ, why would you say that? There is a Glee version.
It's not bad. I thought that of the Glee songs, the Madonna mixtape was kind of fire.
Yeah, to this day, I'm incapable of listening to Vogue and not thinking of fucking Sue Sylvester saying, "Well, Schuster, I hate you." Like, it's ingrained in my mind. Also, this is the second conversation about Glee I've had in the past 12 hours.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening.
So sorry for your loss.
Let us know on Twitter if you want us to do a bonus episode where we watch the first 5 episodes of the first season of Glee.
That's the only ones I've seen, so it would be like a real incredible coming home for me.
I've seen the first 3 seasons. And I'm so sorry.
All right. I don't know how we're going to turn this ship around, so maybe we just don't, and we just say, fuck transitions, let's talk about Rika Kihira, who has lovely transitions, by the way. I don't want to...
She does have lovely transitions. You know what I'm thinking about right now?
What?
Is a Breakfast in Baghdad Glee cover.
No!
Just like a cute, like, a cappella arrangement. Everyone's wearing duotones.
Yeah.
If that's what you missed on Glee. But much like the New Directions maybe did in the end of one of the seasons, maybe I don't remember the plot of Glee, Rika won.
She did.
She won.
It was not a runaway the way we thought it would be. The free skate was a little dodgy. She did turn it around. She did save it. And she did do the thing that Young Yu did, which was land all 12 possible triple jumps. But she had to do some thinking on her feet because she did have a little bit of an oopsie with that first axel. So,
you know, it was stressful because I feel like going into Four Continents, the one thing I was kind of willing to bet on was she was gonna win. I wasn't sure how the rest of the podium would shake out, but I was like, looking at this, it's probably Rika's.
Yeah.
I did enjoy a little bit of intrigue. A little bit of, like, high stakes, last minute thinking on your feet, making it work thing. I mean, I'm sure it's very stressful for the athletes, but it's so impressive when it does happen.
Yeah. Rika is actually another skater who I wish that she would make facial expressions. It's like the last missing piece for her to be like a totally complete skater for me. It's like the very last thing that I want to see her do either at Worlds or maybe next season. But she did bring her Lutz back, and that's very exciting.
Yay. Amen. I wonder, this just occurred to me. I know we've gone into her programs so much. I'm not even going to open that door anymore. I wonder if we would get, like, the last missing piece of acting if we had music with a slightly more clear story. Because both of her programs are just kind of deeply conceptual and, like, abstract.
Yeah, I'm thinking about last year. You're right, I don't think she had a character piece last year either, because Claire de Lune is not about any one thing, doesn't really have words. Beautiful Storm, you know what? Beautiful Storm, a little bit, maybe? But still, no, you're right. She is getting a lot
It's still, like playing artsy. The storm.
Yeah, she's playing a vibe.
Yeah, she's... she's just a vibe skater. And that's fine. I do wonder what would happen if it's just, like, this is a love song, or this is very sad, or like anything. I'm not saying simplify it. There is a way to play complex human emotion, of course. I'm just saying maybe it would be easier if it's, this is a girl who's going through this and this and this, and I'm going to skate about it, and not, I'm a storm, I'm a desert, I'm the angel of peace. Like, cool, awesome, love that. Yeah. What's the story?
You know that song? Sorry, I don't know why I'm so on my Broadway bullshit today and every day, but...
No, I'm always on my Broadway bullshit.
Do you remember that song from Chorus Line where they're like, be an ice cream, be a snowman? Yep. Like, that's what it reminds me of. your theory is interesting to me, and I think it must just be skater by skater, right? Because then I look at Young Yu, who has two very clear characters. She's Juliet and she's Ava Perone, and yet we're still having a similar issue, so... I don't know. It could be skater to skater. It could be just, you know, when they're ready.
It could also just be about the music. Like, I don't know. Maybe you don't need to understand the particular story of a character as much as you gotta just, like, click with... You gotta vibe with a song. Maybe it's a very vague instrumental, but you just know exactly how it makes you feel, and that makes it easier. I don't know. I have synesthesia. This is all different from where I'm standing.
You know, this particular competition and this particular skate of Breakfast in Baghdad hit me the hardest of all of the times that we've seen it, that Shaylin really did an amazing job of placing the jumps and placing every little intricate detail, every little intricate movement to the music. And Rika, I think, to her credit, has, over the course of the season, a better sense of where every single one of these little gestures has to go, how every single jump is on a zao or a shtum or whatever. I was really impressed with that. And so that to me gives me hope that her musical understanding is continuing to grow. And, you know, she is really only like 16, 17 years old. So,
yeah, I agree. We're nearing the point of the season where I'm starting to get separation anxiety about, like, oh my god, this might be the last time we get to see this program. It makes me sad.
It all still feels very new. Like, this whole season feels very new. All these programs to me are still, like, oh, Rika's new program. You know, it's none of it feels, you know, old. So, I have been getting separation anxiety from the season since, like, Nationals.
Oh my god, yeah.
I can't even talk about it yet, but... Okay, Rika is the first single skater to get two consecutive Four Continents titles ever, men or women in history. Isn't that weird?
Incredible. That's wild.
Four Continents truly is that bitch. Like, anything goes, it's unpredictable.
It's been happening for, like, 21 years as well. It's not, like, a new thing where it's impossible for anyone to have won it or, like, anything. Yeah. It's been around for since, like, 1999 or something. And... Rika's the first out of everyone ever.
Oh, I was gonna say that we still have not seen the Quad Cell.
No, we've seen it. We've seen it. We know it exists. We've seen it happen. She has not done it in comp.
Yeah, no, you're right. She definitely has seemed like she was going to or had it in her planned content, but then always ended up tripling it. I would love to see it. I'm not gonna lie about it. I would love to see it, but I want her to, you know, keep her ankle safe. I don't know if... I know that the ankle was the reason that the Lutz wasn't happening. I just want to make sure everything's, like, ship-shape. But I want to see that Quad Sal.
Same. I am hoping we get to see it at Worlds, just because I think it would be delightful. I think it's a good button on a season.
The Quad Sal is... the messiest bitch of the jumps. Don't you think? Like, who's a messier bitch than the Quad Cell?
Quad Toes for the guys recently have been trying to be that messy. But there is a reason that my safe word is Quad Cell, and it's very much that there is not a single Quad Cell in the history of figure skating that's not fucking stressing me out.
It's true. Who has one that's like every time it's like fine? It's
absolutely fucking no.
Literally no one. Not a goddamn soul. No, even
questionable.
Even
questionable
Nathan,
still.
That's not his. I mean, Nathan, I feel like his quad toe is like always there for him. Nobody.
There is not a single person who, like, if I'm like, do a single quad, any quad, and I'm gonna give you $1 million. I don't think anyone who has multiple quads would go for a Quad Cell. Someone make me a mega cut of every single time we've bitched about the Quad Cell. There's like, what, 27 episodes of us just having an extended therapy session about the Quad Cell as a concept.
It's true. All right. Well, anyway, congratulations to Rika. Glad she was able to pull it
Very
off.
Proud.
We stand, and we can't wait to see what she does at Worlds.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, welcome to the break.
What do we have to do this week? First of all, thank y'all for engaging with us on social media. It's always a blast. It's my favorite time of the week is whenever we get to chat with people, especially during events, but also whenever someone listens and just out of the blue tags us and like, oh my god, I'm listening to the IC podcast and they just said this joke I forgot about, lol. It always makes me smile. So if you're listening to this right now, and I know you are, add us on Twitter and tell me what's up. Makes me very happy. What else?
Sorry, I'm laughing because it would be funny if somebody was hearing this but not listening.
I mean, maybe if you're like in the car with your friend who's forced you to listen to a podcast.
If you're just if you're fully dissociating, I can also, I respect you, you're valid. Listen, we have a few things that we talk about a lot, but we need to talk about more. And those things are Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have a Patreon. It is where you go to get all of your bonus content. We do have a whole bunch of that, and it's all backlogged, so if you sign up today, you get months and months worth of bonus material that you've never heard. So you can go to patreon.com/icedpod, and you quite literally make the show happen. You make it possible. And we're very grateful.
Yeah, thank you so much. Another thing you can do for us that's absolutely free is to go on the Apple Podcasts app. That's the Purple Podcast app. And rate us 5 stars and or give us a nice little review. You can say whatever you want in the comments. It really, really helps us out. Numbers, math, mysterious algorithms, something, something, deep state. Oh, so we have had a sticker contest going, and we are finally ready to reveal the winners.
Oh my God, so exciting. Can you edit in a drum roll?
Yes, I will. I'll find like the most dramatic sounding drum roll and do it. The winners are Caitlin, Sarah, and Rebecca.
Yay! Congrats, you guys. We are so happy we get to send some people some presents. Also, thank you for everyone who entered. I'm sure there's more of this coming in the future. Also, if you just want a sticker and you didn't get one, add us on Twitter. We'll figure it out. Subscribe to Patreon. Maybe we'll send our patrons some.
Tell us if there's anything that you would want. Like, if there's any iced tea stuff that you would legitimately buy, like, let us know.
I've had a draft of a clapping and slapping sticker just sitting in my drafts. Maybe I'll make that happen one day. Yeah, who the fuck knows?
Who knows? Who even knows? Let us know. That is, I believe, everything we have for this week.
Yeah, congrats to the winners. Thank you to the patrons. And everyone else, thank you for enjoying our pod and sticking around and engaging with us. You make all of this worth it and fun. Back to the show.
All right, I'm officially recording again. My microphone has returned from the war. And we are ready to do the second half of the episode in high quality.
Incredible.
So, honorable mentions.
Every single woman who run the world, girls.
All women are queens.
Every single woman. Unless they're not into a monarchy, maybe they don't want to be queens.
Kaori Sakamoto went for a motherfucking quad.
Iconic. Her mind, so her lit. Power. She's gonna land it so soon. And we're going to be so blessed and she's going to be so unstoppable.
The power, like the absolute power. Like, listen, I was rewatching, you know, certain programs that I knew we were going to talk about. And I was rewatching, just kind of skimming a lot of the programs just for the sake of like, did they get this jump? What was their layout? I forget. I turned on No Roots and I just could not bring myself to turn it off. It is illegal. Yep. You have to just watch it because it's so hype. You cannot turn it off. It is impossible.
Yeah, it's honestly, I'm not ready to do like a recap of the entire season because it's not over yet. We're not close to done. But this program takes the cake for me for the one program that every damn time I just pop off so hard. Just hearing the music makes my heart do things that I wasn't aware it's capable of. It's just so good. It's so smart. And I know we've talked about this before, but I really hope she knows that this vibe works for her and keeps it around.
I think she must, because the short has not really been her issue. I think it's the free that has given her a little bit of trouble. And you know what occurred to me as I was watching No Roots today was, you know what would be a freaking god-tier collab would be Kaori and Misha Gay.
Oh my God. Fellas.
Right? Fellas, because look, he does all that like awesome, like contemporary hip hop-ish choreography. Can you tell I'm like just an old fogey who doesn't know? But you know what I'm talking about.
You're like the hip hop artist, Elton John.
The hip hop, the hibbity doop dop, zow, shoob nadab dop.
It's upsetting to me.
I'm so sorry you just had to hear me have a stroke on air, but Kaori could pull it off because she's just the coolest. Now, here's the thing. Had she not gone for the quad toe, I do believe she would have ended up much higher in the rankings because she only ended up getting like 2 points for that jumping pass, but no risk, no reward.
Exactly. And it's a step closer to next time when she does land it and she does end up way higher up.
Yeah, because it's got to be hard to be like, I won this 2 years ago last year. Yeah. You know, I was on the short program podium, but not the long program podium or not the final podium. Like, what, you know, let's just go for broke. Why not? I stand that decision.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, after you've won something, I think that's a good arena to experiment as well. Because it's not like, oh my God, this would be my first time winning this. It's, I've done this, let me do something new. And I think that's ballsy, and I respect it.
Yeah, and speaking of Japanese ladies who tried something new, Wakaba debuted her triple axel at long last in competition after a long time of teasing
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not, like, new for her. Like,
yeah.
It's more of a bringing it back. But it's the first time this season that we've seen it.
Oh, God bless her. I just love her so much.
It didn't quite happen. Again, much
yeah.
like Kaori's quad toe.
But we've seen it. Like, we've seen it. We have proof that it exists and it's back.
Right.
So it's so close. I'm so proud of her for, like, again, the same thing, for making the choice to, like, take the risk and trying it. It was thrilling.
Yeah, Wakaba's another skater who has trouble with the free, but the free program, like the choreography and the costume and the concept, are so good. I love her Poeta. And like the last, I mean, once all the jumping passes are over, they go how they go. They haven't been going like amazingly perfect, with some exceptions, obviously. I mean, she was silver at nationals and she came in fourth here. So, I mean, obviously not too shabby, but just like the energy. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Massimo Scali choreography. As a KG stan, one must be, but.
It's like in your creed that you must be.
Yes, it is. It's a necessity. But yeah, no, just gorgeous. Red and purple forever together.
Amen.
Love it.
I continue to think it's so smart for that costume to be red and purple, because it could easily be red and black and it would be beautiful but very predictable. And I think replacing black with purple is such a cool, smart, bold choice. And I need to see more of it in my life. And
I agree.
And figure skating as well.
And like, oh my God, her Sia costume, listen, it's a lot. There are aspects of it that I like. There are aspects of it that I don't. But overall, I love that we're like going there. I think it's smart to take Sia's like black and white hair and use it as a reference. I think it's more successful than what Sasha Trusova has in her, what is it? What's the word I'm forgetting? Exhibition. Thank you. The part that really I just love is the cool, weird like half gloves. I'm like, such
a sucker like
for a weird glove. I just like a half glove. I do. And
that's valid.
The airbrushing is, again, you lose me in the airbrushing, but
yeah,
that's just my hill that I like to die on.
That's just your opinion.
That's just my opinion.
Thank you.
This is the moment that I get to say that commentator Paul should be fired and maybe
persecuted, brought to justice in the eyes of the Lord.
Right, whatever that means for you.
Yeah.
But he did make a comment about Wakaba's body that was absolutely unconscionable. It's not appropriate. It is completely ridiculous. In a sport where eating disorders are so rampant and it's such a well-known thing, like, why the fuck would you say that? Something that we found out is that commentator Paul usually comments on horse racing and, like, horse events.
Yeah.
It's not called horse racing. It's called something else.
Equine sports.
Equus. It's called Equus. And
no, that's Harry Potter.
That's when Harry Potter has sex with a horse. I've read that play. I know that's not true, and yet somehow that's what Equus is to me. It makes sense that if you think that people are horses, maybe you say, you know, the things that you say. But people are not horses. People are people, man.
Yeah. Also, first of all, garbage man. Horrible garbage man. Don't talk about people. Don't talk about women the way commentator Paul talks about women. But also, I feel like it's not an okay way to possibly maybe talk about horses either. I'm not trying to say they are equal. Also, I've never seen a horse sport event in my life.
We need like a horses version of like a Dove Real Beauty campaign where maybe body positivity for horses is an untapped avenue that we could go down.
I don't know. I just feel like horses, much like human athletes, are strong, good athletes for reasons that are not necessarily which one of them is the thickest.
thick horse Olympics. Great.
Talking points for the episode. Thick horse Olympics.
Great. I will never, as long as I live, get over how insane Yilim Kim's Black Swan is. It is unhinged in the best way.
No, it's great.
First
it's
of
incredible.
All, a lesser costume designer would have said Black Swan, black, dunzo. No, this one is green and it's inspired.
Yeah, it's one of those things, much like adding purple to a costume that should be red and black if anyone else was doing it. I feel like taking Black Swan and being like, no, fuck it, it's green, is such an insane, interesting, exciting choice that I'm just on board from the second she's on the ice and I get like the little graphic that tells me it's going to be a black swan.
I never thought I would live to see the day that any skating program has, like, a Natalie Portman spoken word intro.
I know. We've come so far as a society.
Which also reminds me of the time that Natalie Portman played Sacha Cohen on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember that?
Oh my god. I forgot that happened.
Yeah, she, like, comes on Weekend Update and, like, eats shit in front of the camera.
That's full circle somehow in a weird roundabout way.
Natalie Portman is somehow very involved in the fabric of figure skating lore. So
she's part of the Matrix. Real quick, Megan, here's a sidetrack. What is a film monologue that you think we should see on ice that we have not seen?
Well, I have already said on this episode that I think that somebody needs to do Pacific Rim on ice. And of course, I need the Idris Elba Tonight We Are Canceling the Apocalypse.
Incredible. But then it goes into a mashup with We Only Got 4 Minutes to Save the World.
What about you? Are you going to say the Social Network one?
I was not going to say the Social Network one because that would be that is my favorite monologue in any film. But it would be an insane choice for...
I just came up with a really good one, though, but I want you to go first.
I'm thinking I would want the Whatever Happened to Chivalry monologue from Easy A transitioning into a full program to Pocket Full of Sunshine.
I was going to say that somebody should do a skate to Now You See Me and do like one of those cool like... Do you see it yet? Like, you know those like voiceovers they do at the beginning and end of those?
Oh my god, that would be so good. I love that. I love that movie so much. Yes. I've just listed like Jesse Eisenberg movies.
That's I think why I thought about it. Also, if we do Little Women, somebody could just do a super cut of all of the things that have become like memes. Like, I've tried it and I can't. That would be really funny to do a quad attempt to that.
But it's like the Cold and Broken Hallelujah in Mariah's Free Skate, and it's I can't, I've tried it and I can't, and you get like a triple double on that.
No, I think that's gotta be the moment where you do the quad attempt and you fall on purpose. I'm telling you, I need more deliberate artistic falls on ice.
Artistic falling.
That's where I think I could really shine would be artistic falling.
You do a program to that that song that's like I Keep On Falling.
I keep on falling in that one. Out.
Horrible.
Swiftly moving on, Amber and Karen were there as well. I just more than anything want to see Amber like just put out two programs that she can be proud of. I mean, I'm sure she's still proud, but you know what I mean? Just clean things.
Yeah.
Every time she's just, you know, she just had like a little oopsie on the axle and then, you know, the Free continues to, like, not be her best, but Karen's short was really beautiful.
Karen is so gorgeous in the ice. We've talked about it. We just talked about it at Nationals. She just looks like the platonic ideal of, like, hey, Megan, paint me a figure skater. You'd paint that.
I mean, look, top 6 at 4 Continents.
Incredible. Wow.
Incredible.
She ended up in 7th.
Oh, she did. I'm sorry. I was looking at the Free Skate protocols. So top 6 in the Free Skate.
Yeah, I'm looking at the full thingy.
And Amber came in top 10?
Yeah, she was 9th. She was consistently 9th.
Because I remember Darlene on Instagram, her coach Darlene Kane, had said that their goal for 4 Continents was top 10, and she came in 9th. She made it, and even though I think she probably would have preferred to skate clean, because we know that she can.
Yeah.
You know what's wild is that commentator Paul was a dick to pretty much everyone. He loved Amber, and that was like his one redeeming quality. It's like even commentator Paul...
He has a smidge of taste.
Even commentator Paul can see why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Like, I would love it if people would stop shitting all over Amber's music. Like, if she wants to skate to, like, an emo female vocalist singing Scars by Papa Roach or whatever the fuck. Is that Papa Roach? Who sings that originally?
I'm not sure. Let me Google that.
Am I thinking of the other song that's like, cut my life into pieces?
No, that's the one. That's the one. It's Papa Roach.
If Amber wants to skate to that song, she's clearly vibing with it because, like, why do you think she's giving such an emotionally connected performance on the ice? Because she's skating to music that she vibes with. Like, people need to back off young skaters skating to music that they clearly enjoy. Like, sorry, not everybody's out here skating to Clair de Lune, but like, whatever, man. Okay, boomer.
My personal gripe with Amber's programs at this point is that her fucking gravity makes me cry every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I need her to be done with it. I need her to give me like a slappy, upbeat free skate next year just because I'm done crying. I just can't, I can't keep doing this because I'm not emotionally strong enough for it.
The last person that I want to shout out is, okay, look, we have been saying, who the fuck is going to skate for Kazakhstan? Elizabeth Tursunbaeva has been off the ice and she won all these spots and all these competitions for her country and then, you know, took some time off.
Got a gorgeous haircut.
I am obsessed with her Instagram. As critical as I was of her last year, I like want to be her best friend. She's so cute. Her Instagram presence is a blessing. And if you don't follow her, you should. It's just all like peak nostalgia, peak living her best life with a little Bob incredibleness. Okay.
Yep.
Who's going to fill those shoes? In waltzes, Iza Mambekova. I'm obsessed with her. She is so cool.
She is so awesome. See, she's one of those people that like I did not really know before.
Nor did I, which is not to say she hasn't been around.
Yeah, she was at the Olympics. She right. is an Olympian. But, like, we haven't gotten to see her that much.
Yeah.
And we got a treat.
Her aesthetic is so cool. Her free skate in particular, she's skating to, like, okay, first of all, commentator Paul once again managed to, like, take away from this moment by being an absolute dipshit. And he was like, I don't want to even go near this word. It's too complicated and non-Western for me. And he made this huge deal of, like, not even wanting to attempt pronouncing what is, like, ultimately not that complicated of a thing. It's just, he just was like, oh, it's, like, a traditional Kazakhstan song. And then it's, like, an EDM remix of something. So it's clearly not, like...
First of all, I think it was so fucking cool that she did that.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with that choice. And I think it was such really cool a cool program. Track. Also, I hate this man. It just makes me so upset that...
I'm exhausted by him.
I just can't deal with it. I think it's fake woke to be like, oh, I realize I'm not gonna say this right, so I'm not even gonna try. No, bitch. I mean, it's like the biggest cliche, but like, if you can say Tchaikovsky and Michelangelo, you can learn how to say fucking words.
Even if it's a little wrong, like, it's so much less ridiculous to just try.
Just say, I'm sorry, this is in... Kazakh, I don't speak the language. Anyway, she's doing this. Like, we're gonna get it.
It was ridiculous. I'm mad about it. But the entire thing was cool. It was like this, like, EDM version of, like, a Kazakh folk song. She had this whole warrior princess vibe with, like, this amazing, like, head jewelry. Again, we love a headpiece on ice.
Fuck yeah.
It was exactly what I would have wanted to skate to if I was, like, 16 and, like, had my own, like, what is my fantasy performance? I would 100% have been, like, I'm, like, a warrior princess skating to techno shit. Oh, so cool. And, like, I think she came in last, but, like, imagine being so cool that, like, you came in last and you're still in the incredible conversation of the most memorable shit that we wanted to talk about, right?
I stand so very that's the vibe. To be honest, if I were... say 15 and I had to skate my dream program that I would have wanted to skate to at 15, it would have been something like Amber is just taking a very emo song and making it even more emo and then skating to that looking pretty. Like, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, if I'm being like fully honest, you know, over the summer when they did that Evangelion group number to the theme song of Genesis Evangelion and Evgenia like wore her hair in the pigtails like Asuka, that would have been me. We had said that we were going to do breaking news at the end, and we are people of our word. So here we are towards the end, and we're going to do breaking news. A lot of our breaking news is around the naming of the Canadian Worlds team, which we've been kind of waiting on bated breath for.
Yeah. Listen, as of time of recording, it happened like yesterday. The ladies' selections were announced. There was a lot of conversation that happened, a lot of math. I'm, at this point, Megan, frankly, slightly confused. I don't know what to think. I don't know how to feel. Talk me through this.
It's interesting. We spoke a little bit about the U.S. nominations for Four Continents and the World's Team, and what the US Fed did was at least sort of rank out how heavily it was weighing different competitions and different results from the past. Skate Canada released a list of bullet points of things they were considering in kind of no particular order and said, like, in no particular order. So it's not really clear. And I think the thing that was confusing to a lot of people was essentially that Madeline Skizis came in third at Canadian Nationals. And since Canadian Nationals, of the three medalists, Emily Bousbeck, Madeline Skizis, and Allison Schumacher, Madeline Skizis has performed far and away the best of those three. And so I think a lot of people were expecting her to be named as the choice. And instead, Emily Bousbeck, the Canadian national champion, was chosen. And I think a lot of people were just confused about sort of what are the criteria. And the answer is that we don't know. And obviously, Emily Bousbeck is great, and she won the nationals, and she's by no means a poor choice by any definition. I think it's just a case, again, of how our world's teams decided. There's not a lot of transparency there, which can be confusing for fans and maybe for skaters, too. I mean,
yeah, I saw a lot of commentary and debate online from people in the skating world as well as fans. And I honestly don't know if I can contribute much to it. I will say that Jackie Wong did publish a very nice table where he basically took every single of the bullet points and compared and contrasted how each of the ladies fits in Skate Canada's criteria. I encourage people to go take a look at that if they're curious and kind of make your own conclusions.
Yeah, I think that the ultimate conclusion was really that there wasn't a runaway clear choice.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets tricky. And that's the thing with the Canadian ladies field this season, kind of last season, basically since the retirement of Caitlin Osmond, is, you know, who's taking up this mantle. And yeah, it's a rebuilding time for Canadian ladies singles, no matter how you slice it. So regardless, we wish everybody the best at Worlds and Junior Worlds. And yeah, and Nam got the men's spot, which yes. I think did we say at any point? I don't know if we have,
but Nam has the men's spot. Very excited for that.
Yeah. Also, the Challenge Cup in The Hague happened, which that was Donovan Carrillo's last chance of getting a world's technical minimum. And unfortunately, he didn't. And I think the universal reaction is just heartbreak on that.
Yeah, we're all sad for Donovan. But he's improved so much this season across the board. And I think we're going to be seeing hopefully more of him next season.
I think so, too. I really do. I mean, gosh, that kid's the future, regardless of this one particular competition or this one particular season, to be that popular worldwide of a skater.
Everyone's from such obsessed a small with him. Fed. It's great.
Like, that's a victory in and of itself.
Oh, for sure. And not in like a, oh, we're all winners kind of way. It's just,
not everyone's a winner, but Donovan is a winner.
Amen. Correct.
Amen. And of course, Rika took home golds, and it wasn't unexpected, but it was nice to see her one more time before Worlds.
Yeah.
Especially because, as we said earlier in the episode, Rika did not have like a totally clean skate at Four Continents, and the Challenge Cup went a lot smoother for her.
Yeah, so she's on a very good trajectory heading towards Worlds, so that's super exciting.
Yeah, and once again, the Challenge Cup provided us with the world's longest commute from the exit of the ice to the Kiss and Cry, which is always, always an awkward treat.
Truly a delight.
Yeah, as a lover of discomfort and chaos, nothing really tickles me more than just seeing everybody cope with that.
What else happened? Okay, listen. A lot of things have been happening in the world of pair skating, which we don't cover, but there was a truly insane day where so much happened for pair skaters. I don't know where to even begin with that. I just want to say I wish everyone the best.
That's like the vaguest thing we've ever said. We're like, a lot of things happened and I wish everybody the best, but it's true. I'll tell you what it was, because listen, I made a stupid comment on Jackie Wong's Twitter and got like a bunch of new followers. So if you're new here because of that, I hate to tell you that we don't really cover pairs, but we do make a lot of stupid jokes in that vein. So if that's what you like, then you're in the right place. Okay. So Alexandrovskaya and Windsor have split. Chris Knierum has retired. His wife and former partner, Alexa Knierum, is going to continue to skate with a different partner. And world's bronze medalist, Natalia Zabiako?
I think it's Zabiako.
how you say Zabioko it. And Alexander and Bear have announced their retirement. So yeah, just a big day. And of course, in lieu of the Knierims, the last U.S. pairs world spot is going to Jessica Calalang and Brian Johnson, who I have to say, of all of the U.S. pairs that I saw, I think they like definitely stole the show at U.S. Nationals. And so I was really happy to hear that they get to go to Worlds after all. Also, I just want to say that a really good interview with Stefan Lambiel with Inside Skating came out, and it was like one of my favorite things I've read in a long time in the world of skating news. I think, obviously, we love Stefan on this program. And I just thought it was really interesting to hear his coaching philosophies and his thoughts on skating. It's really nice that he is so candid, because I think in a sport where a lot of coaches, and, you know, as is their right, are rather private about their methods and their techniques, as a fan, it's always really nice to hear a coach just be so open about what he does.
Agreed. He's a very thoughtful interviewee.
This has been everything ever. Let's take a visit to the softest, warmest, cuddliest place in the universe, Plushy Corner.
Yeah, boy.
All right. Listen, Four Continents may have had its issues. It may have had a commentator who was one of the worst human beings ever to come out of another human being. Four Continents maybe had some cursed noise issues. But you know what Four Continents did have? Yeah. It had official, canon, sanctioned plushies that were of the medal ceremony handed out by none other than the goddess herself, Miss Yuna Kim. Plushy Corner has never been more blessed. I need every single ceremony
to have personalized, very specific plushies and to have Yuna Kim be there.
I didn't know that we were going to get this, and I was a little emotional. Like, this is what the people want. I know this because I am a people and I want it.
Yeah. Also, I am a people. So that's 100% of people agree.
I think that anytime anyone wins anything, Yuna Kim should come out and give a plushie.
Agreed.
Like the Nobel Prize, the Oscars, whoever wins the Democratic primary, like Yuna Kim just shows up and gives them like a little stuffed donkey or something.
Can I take a really quick detour that's not about ladies, just because we don't cover the rest of, we don't cover pairs in Ice Dance, as we know. Plushies, this is plushie related. Maddie and Evan won Ice Dance, thrilled, so excited for them, good for them.
Love that.
First of all, the plushies, an incredible idea. There were pink plushies and blue plushies, and of course, that's a boy plushie and a girl plushie. Maddie and Evan got theirs, they were handed theirs, the other way around, so Evan ended up with a pink one and Maddie ended up with a blue one.
No, that's just correct, though.
First of all, that's correct. Secondly, the entire internet, because, like, you know, Maddie, like, shares on her Insta when people tag them in things and stuff. The entire internet was like, LOL, it's so funny. He got the girl one and she got the boy. It's 2020. It's just colors. It's plushies. Jesus Christ. I was so just peeved by that. People were acting like it was the height of comedy that Evan got to hold a pink teddy bear. It's profoundly stupid.
Let this bear live.
Yeah.
Let this bear be who this bear is.
I support them.
Yeah. So here are some other things that happened that were interesting.
Yes.
In the ladies field in Plushy Corner. Wakaba got what I originally thought was a banana. Turns out, moon in a sleeping cap. Things aren't always what they seem in Plushy Corner. Things surprise you.
The minimalist storytelling in this entire situation, it's too much for me.
Once again, Amber Glenn manages to be the queen of Plushy Corner for the second week in a row.
She wins. She's on a streak.
She won the event. Backstory here, Amber had said on Twitter, I guess she had watched a K-drama at some point, which is a Korean drama, but that's too many syllables, so we say K-drama instead.
It's just very hard to say the word Korean for fear that you might get it wrong.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go near that one. So we're just going to say K-drama. But anyway, she watched a K-drama, and I don't remember what it was, but apparently there was a character in it who had a teddy bear, and Amber had tweeted ahead of going to Korea that she wanted to know where to buy that teddy bear she wanted to use her trip to Korea as an opportunity to spend her own money to expand her own, what I'm sure is already a copious plushie collection. So we stan already. And I guess a Korean fan saw that and like went and got her one and threw it to her. And then she was like in the kiss and cry with it and explaining it to her coach Darlene. Like, this is from this drama I saw. So I thought that was really, really cute. And she like thanked the person on Twitter. And I was like, it's the level of interactivity and thoughtfulness that we want to see in Plushy Corner.
Yeah, it was very personalized, and we always love that.
It was. It's Eunsu, who is a member of the Squirtle Squad, right? We love a Pokemon. We love a Pokemon deep cut. Poor Eunsu got maybe some of the worst of the skeevy commentary. Probably, really undoubtedly, the worst of the skeevy commentary, which was in the
Well, she's the key a beautiful of local schoolgirl, so...
A beautiful local schoolgirl. We cannot believe she's only 15. So it was really hard to pay attention to the schools. Oh my god,
I forgot about this whole thing. There was genuinely like this whole thing about I cannot believe she's 15. She looks like a beautiful, graceful woman, etc. That's the kind of talk that gets you to call the police.
This is what you call Interpol over, okay?
Yeah.
Interpol. Also, this is like, poor Eunsu got double duty here because he was also going really hard at every single time, with the exception of when they were not extremely willowy and petite, pretty much every single Asian female skater got some form of demure. Like, it was weird. Like, it was just the stereotypes and the weird internalized bullshit. So poor Eunsu, she deserved every Squirtle and more.
I just deeply hope that none of those people listened to the commentary of any of this event.
I know, my god, like, ugh, it was yucky.
Just
it was
none of it was hell. Good.
None of it was good.
Eunsu was good, goddamn thing. God bless her.
Eunsu was good. Yeah, that Sabrina program is so good.
I know.
And she's so beautiful, and I feel badly that she's not having as good of a season this year. You know, maybe next year.
Yeah, of course, there's always she's so young.
She's a baby.
Yeah, she has so much time.
The final thing I want to say is that Yilim Kim, another local schoolgirl... received as a
gift
present
from the locals.
Somebody threw her a portrait of herself.
Oh my god.
And all I could think of was how funny it would be if they had thrown that to the wrong skater.
Oh god. I got intense secondhand anxiety just thinking about that.
I know I would do that. Like, I know I would definitely throw that to the wrong skater.
It's like, okay, I guess I have a picture of Amber Glenn now. That's great.
I would love that, though.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, same, but maybe not, like, after my performance.
But anyway, it was a pretty good plushie corner. It's been a really up-and-down year for plushies. I think that last season was pretty much across the board fantastic, and we got used to that. And then this year, it was, like, it's been a little bit of a lean year, so I'm just grateful that everybody
got what they deserved. I hope Worlds is everything we dream of for... the sports part of it, but also I hope we get like some truly insane plushies, hopefully.
Canada usually delivers.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Well, this is halfway through 4 continents.
Yeah, we got through the first 2 continents. Next week we'll do 3 and 4.
Which is men. That's how gender works. So you get 2 continents per gender. What we're saying is come back next week. We're going to talk about the men at 4 continents. It's going to be good.
I too think it's going to be good. I'm glad we're on the same page about that.
In the meantime, if people really want to at you about their favorite monologue for a film, Megan, where can people find you?
People can find me at Megan Kelleher 3. That's MEGHANKELLEHER 3. Do you see how it's weird that anyone would interpret that as ear cleaner? I don't know. Netta, how about you?
I'm at Netta Marie. That's NEDA and then just Marie. I'm not even trying with my last name because I know that's a lost cause. You can find both of us at Ice Tea Pod everywhere. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Patreon and also wherever else you get your podcasts. It's always going to be Ice Tea Pod. And once again, if you want some bonus content, very much go to Patreon. That's patreon.com/IceTeaPod. Megan, can you give me the list of the truly incredible, fantastic human beings and local schoolgirls who have already contributed to our Patreon?
Absolutely. Their names are Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, Caitlin, Susan, Phoebe. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva. Danielle Gleichengauss choreography number one stan. Joseph, KM, Samira, and Haley. Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome. Come back next week.
See ya.